1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. And if you'd like a copy of the number one rated Phil Henry Show Best of the Year 2000 CD with some of our best bits from the past year, some memorable, remarkable, hysterical stuff, you can order it by calling 877-616-7445. That's 877-616-PHIL, P-H-I-L. We've made $84,768 with the sale of our Best of the Phil Henry Show CD for the year 2000. And you can pay for it by way of Visa, MasterCard, or check. It's only $20, $3.50 shipping and handling. And the best part, in my opinion, is that it goes to my friend's place, which is a resource center for homeless and runaway youth in Hollywood, California. The number again is 877-616-7445. Visa, MasterCard, or personal check. Fast, courteous, and professional help. And we thank you for your contributions to the great people at my friend's place. And I do have to make this statement before we move on. Mike Schaefer, my producer, was over at Fox Sports yesterday watching them do the pregame, the Fox NFL pregame show with Howie, Terry, and all those guys. And also he had a Bloody Mary and a beer. And when I was over there with my family, nobody offered me squat. So thanks a lot, Anita. I'm kidding. Anita, you did a great job. Mike says that you're marvelous. And I'm glad that Mike had such a great time over there yesterday because you're a fan of my show, even though when I was there, I got lox and bagels and he got hamburgers. Oh, I'm just joking around. That's okay. Even though I heard that he got to go in and actually watch the broadcast, we had to sit on our asses and watch a TV set. Oh, I'm only joking. Ha ha. I'm overdoing it now. Anita, thank you. It was great. I'm shooting myself in the foot. It's the last time I get invited anywhere over there. No, that's a lot of fun. Seriously, they treat you great. They treat you right. They treat you like a man. You're never lonely over there at Fox Sports. You can go in, watch the ball game as Schaefer. And when Mike had so many Bloody Marys that he couldn't get to the elevator, they had Howie Long helped him to his car. And I thought that was nice. And Terry Bradshaw and all the guys were there carrying him out. And then what else happened? So Anita got you something to drink. You got a nice burger over there, Mike. Great. They're really great. So they'll let you go in and you can watch the thing. I really would have loved to have watched those guys because they're an original act, those Fox guys, Howie Long and Chris Collinsworth and Jim Brown and Terry Bradshaw. Those guys are the original from which all of the other ripoffs, you know, that CBS is ripping them off. But those guys got a great chemistry. And they do a terrific pregame and, what do you call it, halftime report. So next week is what, Minnesota, New York, and then that's the end of that. And who's doing the Super Bowl this year, CBS? Oh, so I guess, well, okay. Does that mean Dick Enberg and Dan Dierdorf? Dick and Dan back in the spotlight. CBS don't do a very good job. I don't like anything about them, their network, or any of the people that work for them. But it's a great NFL package they got over there. 2002, it's Fox. So this year it's going to be CBS, which means we got to suffer through all of that. We got to suffer through that. See, they're still trying to play it cutesy-poo over there. They don't show the score all the time up there in the corner like Fox did. They're the guys that started showing the score. So naturally, everybody starts showing a score, even NBC. But CBS, I had to watch for about 5 minutes. I couldn't see the score because they wanted me to stay with their lousy coverage, even though it was the only game I could watch. You know, in other words, they had one game on, which was the AFC divisional playoff game, and naturally it's the only game that's on. So what do you think, I'm going to tune over and watch another game? Show me the score! See, if you don't show the score, the people will stay and they won't tune over to what? Bowling? Yeah, I think I'll go over and watch Indiana and Michigan State college hoops. Just show the score, okay? Just show me the score. I want to know what the score is. I want to know how much time it is. I want to know what down it is. I'm a football fan. Don't you get it yet? And there's nothing that you're competing against other than college hoops. I think that was the only thing that was on. So show the bloody score, and don't be pulling don't be playing a cute man with the Super Bowl, okay? When Oakland and Minnesota hook up for the Super Bowl, don't, well, you know that's who it's going to be. Nah, it's going to be the Giants in Oakland. It'll be the Giants. It'll be the Raiders. Don't even worry your pretty little head about that. There's no way Minnesota goes to New York and beats the Giants on that slop. Apparently, they were spray painting the field green. Did you hear about that one? They had so much mud and slop out there. They got no grass, Giants Stadium. They spray painted the grass green, which is not unusual for you golf fans out there. You realize they do that every year at the Masters. Yeah. Sure they do. Half the golf courses in America on TV every week. When you're watching, those of you who do watch golf on TV, and I realize there's only about three or four of you, but when you turn on golf on TV on a weekend, you realize half the courses are spray-painted green. You don't think, you know, you look at the, why couldn't I play a round of golf on a course like, look at that gorgeous green. Sure, just bring a can of spray paint. Just bring your can of spray paint, man. You'll feel right at home out there. So there's no way the Vikings go in there and beat them on that field. And there is no way on God's good green earth or good spray-painted green earth that the Ravens go into Oakland and take out the Oakland Raiders and that collection of freaking whack jobs that they got in the stands wearing their skirts and their silver and gold tampons or whatever the hell it is they with up their noses or whatever the hell it is that they're doing with the dumbest football fans on earth. There's no way they win there. So it's Oakland and the Giants in the Super Bowl, and the winner is Oakland. Because John Gruden, who looks like he's been sucking on a lemon all weekend, you ever seen that guy's kisser? What's wrong with him? Is a good coach. No doubt about it. I'd also like to thank my kids for leaving the garage door halfway down this weekend so I could walk right into it. Now I've got another hole opened up in the top of my head. I have got a bald head, which means when I bump my head, you see it for miles around. Now, I see other bald guys don't have as many bruises and bumps on their head. I guess I'm just one retarded, slow moron. And I was setting a little train set up underneath the piano for Christmas. We run the little train track under there for the kids, right? So I'm under there like an idiot. I'm putting the tracks together, and I lift my head up, and bang, I bump my head, and I got a big, big bruise and a big welt in the back of my head. So that thing finally goes away. Yesterday, I'm walking around, and I'm lost in thought. I'm kind of looking at the ground. I'm looking for something. When a kid opens a garage door, the kid opens the garage door as high as that kid's little arms can go, which means it's about forehead height for me. I lift it up, it's high enough. Well, I wasn't looking, and I'm walking, and boom, right into the forehead-high garage door I went. So now I got the big hole in the top of my head again, and, you know, I went to the doctor today, and he didn't even bother to ask me. You know, he's seen so many of those. It's just, he's just going to test me for multiple sclerosis and leave it at that. Hi, Phil, I'd like to run some neurological exams. Why? Never mind. Just see if he can touch your nose. Well, why are we doing that? I'll tell you later. Butterfingers. So anyway, kids, thanks a lot for that. That's really a beautiful one. And, of course, I was running around there swearing and cursing, and I couldn't open anything and find anything. Oh, man. And I took one of the kids out to the oldest guy to learn how to drive yesterday. I took him up to the high school, and I let him drive home. He has no license, that's right, and I let him drive home. And the reason why in the state of California, you get a learner's permit at 15 and a half, you get your driver's license at 16. To get a learner's permit, you don't have to have any driving experience. You just have to be able to pass the written test, which means the kid's going to drive and want to drive and bug me to drive and scream at me about driving, whether I want him to or not. So I said, okay, I'm going to take you out driving tomorrow, and okay, we'll go in the automatic. You don't have to learn a stick shift. I'm going to give up on teaching him stick shift. When I was a kid, you had to learn a manual and an automatic transmission. I got a 5-speed truck. He can't get it. He didn't figure it out. It's really tough. And he doesn't want to get it and figure it out. And who knows how to drive a 5-speed? Seriously, we all in our lives have people who don't know how to drive a manual transmission. I've told the story so often I want to throw up about the guy who was a valet. Melissa can't drive a manual. Nice job there, Melissa. You just have one that looks like you got a manual with the stick shift on the floor, the automatic. Yeah, that's what one of the kids said. It's a stick shift, isn't it? No, it's an automatic. The shift is on the floor. That don't mean that it's a, you know, manual. And when I parked the car that time at Santa Anita and the guy went to get it and he couldn't drive a damn manual transmission, the kid who worked in valet, I realized that time and life had passed me by, man. I said, you can't drive a manual. I don't know how to drive. This is the guy who's being paid to be a valet, can't drive a manual transmission. So maybe once again, Phil is wrong. Once again, I'm wrong. Once again, I'm asking something that is an impossibility. Once again, I'm asking something that shouldn't be asked. I'm asking the kid to learn how to drive a five-speed, okay? Forget it. Sorry I asked. Go ahead. Get into the automatic. Kill yourself. What do I care? So we got into the thing. He was doing pretty good. And I said, okay, you can drive home. And actually, I didn't say that. I said, just go up here and turn left. He knew it was what we were doing. We were on our way home. I wasn't about to take the wheel over. And I had my foot poised, my left leg poised and ready to hit the brake. I was going to reach over his leg and jam my foot onto his and brake if I had to. Because I suddenly realized this is the first time that he had driven. And we're in, like, traffic. And there's, like, police cars around. And what am I doing? First car we came up on, you know, we had to brake. The first intersection we had to brake at, I thought he was going to run right into the back of the car. He did pretty good, though. But this kid, he don't have to have a license. Doesn't have to have a driving test to get a learner's permit. But, you know, when I got my license, I was 21 before I got a driver's license. I drove without a license for, like, years. I was driving when I was 14. I'm cruising around in my sister's Volkswagen with no license, at 14. And I finally, when I moved to Florida, I got a Florida driver's license. Okay, and that was the beginning of my driving life. So who am I to, you know, you're doing all right, kid. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. One 800 449 8686. Now let me see. We get this lady on the phone, and I wanted to get your name right. It's Viola Crane. Hello.
Yes.
Okay, Viola. Can you speak up?
Yes.
How are you?
Oh, very well.
And you were calling about Steve Allen.
Yes. You know, I am calling on behalf of all senior citizens, every person. Over the age, really, of 55. When I say how very sorry we are that Steve Allen has passed on, and how sorry we are that this wonderful man has gone forever.
Okay.
And in exchange for our expressions of sorrow, we are asking with all respect, if you are in the media and your people in the media, Phil, would you please stop with how he died and all this other stuff? It's been going on for weeks.
And well, the Steve Allen story, the reason, and I told you this off the air, there's more information coming out about how he died. And
yeah, but would you stop, please? When you are my age, Small kindnesses mean so much. I live in a beautiful retirement village. And
you let me interrupt you. You don't want to hear any more about Steve Allen dying?
Oh, enough already. You know, he's dead. You know, and you're going on and on about...
Well, the word today was that he might have died not from a heart attack, but because his car...
Yeah, I know, ran into another car, and I got it already, you know. It's just...
Well, what is it that you don't want to hear?
You know, you're dragging it out. You're dragging it out.
Were you a Steve Allen fan?
No, not a lot of the people my age were. Yes, I was for a while, but not so much of a fan as that I want to hear, first it's a heart attack, then it's a car wreck. Soon, you know, it's going to be alien abduction or... You know what I'm saying?
And you're calling my show, soon it'll be alien abduction, huh?
Well, it's just ridiculous. And
all right, you're calling my show, and you claim to speak on behalf of millions of senior citizens when you say what?
Enough with Steve Allen. He was, you know...
Well, we're not trying to disrespect his memory, okay?
And I don't care if you're disrespecting his memory. I just don't want to hear about him anymore. You know, we had a very terrible thing happen here in our retirement home last week. I live in Ojai. And
that's Ojai, California.
Yes. And we have a wonderful retirement home. and a very dear friend of ours named Alan Chalmers died. He fell asleep in one of the whirlpools. And Steve Allen, I think, in some small way killed him. And
how did he kill him?
He was reading one of Steve Allen's, he was reading a Steve Allen book. And he fell out and drowned in a whirlpool.
And well, I, ma'am, to say that...
He was bored. Oh. Oh, God.
All right, so he was reading Steve Allen's private joke file. Is that it?
Yes. And he fell asleep and he drowned to death. And I, if they don't stop talking about how he died, I will petition the courts to have Steve Allen posthumously charged with first-degree murder. And I have been talking about that with other people.
I don't think you'll be able to do that.
Mr. Henry, we've heard...
I don't think you can do that, okay? I know for a fact you can't do that. And I think it disgraces that man's memory.
My friend is dead. My friend died reading...
You can't say that Steve Allen killed your friend. Steve Allen was dead when your friend died.
He was reading...
Look, I don't mean to yell at you, okay?
He was reading Mr. Allen's book. And he was bored to death.
I understand that your friend fell asleep and drowned in a whirlpool while he was reading one of Mr. Allen's books, but you can't have the guy posthumously charged with first-degree murder.
Why?
I don't know why. I don't know if it can be done.
If Mr. Allen had any real talent, Jim Chalmers would be alive today. But poor Jim Chalmers died, it drowned. And I will tell you that we'll have Steve Allen charged with murder.
And what if you find him guilty?
Then we can have his body exhumed and electrocuted. So that is...
And that is absurd.
That is what the justice that we want. And I think, with all due respect to the Allen family, my friend died. So how do you like me now? Ha ha, how do you like me now? Who let the dogs out? Bark, 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 bark.
I am sorry for your friend, and I think we should be sorry for Mr. Allen, but you can't have him charged posthumously for murdering your friend. What you can say is that whoever gave him the book, whoever gave him that book may be responsible for his death. Who gave him the book?
One of our night nurse.
Your night nurse did?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe you should have said to him, why did you give Jim Chalmers that book?
I don't know. I no one knew how deadly it was.
So it was Steve Allen's private joke file.
Steve Allen's private joke file, and it killed my friend.
Let me give the number here, 1-800-449-8686. Now, I got your name here, Viola. It's Viola Crane, and you're at a retirement home in Ojai. I don't want to give the name of the retirement home, okay? Don't give the name of the retirement home, okay?
All right.
You are claiming that your friend Jimmy Chalmers died... drowning in a whirlpool at the retirement home because he was bored to death reading one of Steve Allen's books.
Yes.
Now, you know, and I know...
It's like handing a loaded pistol to a baby.
Well, you just said that most senior citizens are tired of hearing about Steve Allen's death, right?
Yes.
Then why would they pick up one of his books?
Well, a lot of them liked him or thought that he'd gotten better, you know... the older he'd gotten.
So he picks up one of Steve Allen's books, takes it into the whirlpool with him, starts reading it, gets bored to death, and drowns. That's his fault, not Steve Allen's fault.
But Steve Allen could have been a better writer. Why did he write jokes that he knew would kill?
I don't know.
There should be a 15-day waiting period on Steve Allen's books.
Mr. Allen is dead, and let's not disgrace his memory.
Oh, but we can drag Jim Chalmers' memory through the dirt.
I don't want to do that either.
Well, I want justice for him.
Well, I don't think the way to get justice is to go after the Allen family. That you may want to go after the publisher, you may want to do something like that.
Well, I think something should be done.
Possibly. Possibly. Hold on here, Viola, because I understand you're very upset. Get her number, Mike. 1-800-449-8686. I don't know what to do for the old lady, but apparently She claims that she speaks on behalf of all senior citizens when she says, stop talking about Steve Allen's death and the many ways that he died. Heart attack, automobile accident, maybe alien abduction. 1-800-449-8686. And you're listening to The Phil Hendry Show. One 800 449 8686. Phil Hendry Show. And it started to rain in Southern California today, which is the beginning of the beginning of winter. You know, when it rains here, that's it. That's winter. It'll rain and it'll rain and it'll probably, you know, some house will somewhere along the line, somebody's house is going to go down a hill someplace, I guess. And I got this hill behind my house. I said, okay, I'm going to have to, because my father-in-law comes over on Thanksgiving. Well, what are you going to do about that hill? What are you talking about? Well, I don't know. When it starts to rain, the mud's going to slide down there, you know. And he's from Chicago, and I'm doing sort of a Chicago, Minnesota accent. He sounds like he's from Minnesota to me. What are you talking about, Al? Well, I don't know, man. You look at that hill, your house, everything's, oh, God, oh, Christ. What are you talking about, man? Well, you see, if it starts to rain, all that mud's going to slide down, and then your neighbor, it's going to go into his yard. I said, well, I hadn't thought about it. Well, you better start thinking about it, Charlie. You got all that mud, it's going to go sliding down somebody's hill. Somebody is going to go sliding down a hill into somebody's house. So what are you going to do? I bet you never wish you bought that house. I said, I don't know. What should I do? Well, you got to plant something there, okay? So that when it rains, the mud don't slide. So my wife said, let's get some of this traveling rosemary. And this is rosemary, and it's an herb, and you've smelt it, you've tasted it. It goes mostly in Italian foods, and it grows wild. And traveling rosemary, they call it that because it literally travels down the hill. So I call this guy up. I said, I wanted to plant marijuana, and there's just nobody who'll do it. So we'll go with this traveling rosemary. I wanted to plant like 300 marijuana plants back there, but shucks. Can't do it. I guess they'll see it from the air. So we're planting this traveling rosemary, and the guy says to me, it's going to cost me like $1,000 to stick these little rosemary plants in the side of the hill. So we did it. And I said, how long is it going to take to travel? 4 months. So I got, basically, I have to sweat out this rainy season before this stuff takes root and starts to travel down the hill and mud don't go sailing into my neighbor's yard. But, yeah, I really did. I wanted to plant some marijuana, but, you know, I just couldn't do that. I had a friend, and I don't want to say who, but he used to plant weed, and he would plant weed, and he would disguise it with tomato plants. And he would put it in a little greenhouse and grow tomato plants over the marijuana, so it was very difficult to see. And, one of the reasons why I did that, in case there was any aerial surveillance of his property, I don't know whether it worked, and I know the guy's out walking around, and he's very, you know, he's safe now, but it always used to crack me up, and I'd always come over generally for the tomatoes, not the pot. You know those really good tomatoes, man? The ones I can smoke? So, yeah, that was the extent of what happened, over the holidays with my grandfather coming, or my father-in-law coming around and telling me what, you know, was basically, I wish I never bought that place, I'm telling you. That whole house, just, he's right. This is one stinking problem after another. Banging my head into a garage door, man. The freaking traveling rosemary down the back of the hill. I got guys that won't come over and fix this. Guys that won't come over and fix that. Stuff dying all over the place. And wait till I tell you about my water bill. You don't even want to know. I'm going to rip that grass out, and it's going to be a desert. I'm putting in rocks. I'm putting in cactus. I am going to create a monument to the desert that it was before anybody moved in and planted lawns. You ever go out to Palm Springs? Do you realize that it's humid out there now? You want to know why? Because all the grass everybody planted out there. They got grass. They got big-ass fairways of grass. They got more golf courses out there, man. It ain't even the desert anymore. It's a freaking jungle. It's hot and sticky and muggy and sweaty. And, man, I'm telling you, water ain't cheap out here. It's hundreds of dollars a month. I'm taking that grass out. Then I'm setting fire to that house. I'm going to move it in my garage or something. I don't know what I'm going to do. Green rocks, that's what I'm going to do. I know what I'll do. I'll have dirt and paint, spray paint it green, just like they did at Giant Stadium. Good Lord. So anyway, I told you, I took the kid driving. Now, one of the things that I was doing with him yesterday is I was teaching him the same way that my father taught me, which is the scenario. I would come up with these scenarios. My old man came up with scenarios. Okay, there's an old lady there and there's a little kid there. Park between them. And he'd have these traffic cones. So I'd try to parallel park between the two traffic cones. The front one is a little kid and the back one's an old lady. And then I'd feel it go over the back. My dad would go, "You just killed an old woman. You just killed an old woman. Pull it out and do it again." What'd I do, Dad? "You just murdered an old woman. You crushed an old lady." And I pull forward. "All right, you just crushed a kid. Now you've killed an old woman and a little kid." Because I know what he was doing. He was impressing upon me how dangerous an automobile can be. How big, how heavy, and how truly dangerous an automobile can be. And the lesson took with me, because when I took the big guy out yesterday, the first thing I said to him as we're driving, "This is a car. And it will kill a person." And I brought up examples of people I knew who died in automobile accidents. I said, "I had a friend, and this happened to him, and another guy, and he did. So this is what will happen, man. Now, an automobile weighs approximately such and such pounds, and it's so many tons, and it can operate at such and such speed, and blah, 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 blah." Then we went and we rented Faces of Death, and we took that home. I made him watch that, and just really got him into the mood for some popcorn and Oliver later on that night. We rented Faces of Death, and he was watching people dying from multiple sclerosis and polio. What's this got to do with cars? Never mind, just watch it. Watching a guy jumping out of a building. "Before I take you driving, I want to show you Faces of Death. Here's a guy jumping out of a building onto a sword. Here's somebody falling on a fence." So then I took him out, and I did the same thing. I created scenarios. So we went into a parking lot. I found a parking lot someplace close to where we lived. And I said, "Okay, this is a street that we're on here. That's a crosswalk. At any given time, people will be on this crosswalk. Let's go driving." "Okay, that's very good. There's people on the crosswalk! Stop! There's people on the ground!" He's like, "Ah! You just killed three people." Now, this was an empty parking lot, but I'd say, I want you to imagine there are cars in every one of these spaces. And so you have to, you know, drive between these cars. And if he'd back out and he went too far, you just banged into some guy's car. That was a Porsche. You just destroyed someone's Porsche. I just ran somebody over in a crosswalk. Okay, go up to the stop sign. You rolled the stop sign. You just got a ticket. Okay, now turn right. You didn't turn. Now there's traffic coming. There's traffic coming, you fool. Driving this poor guy nuts. I said, "See that over there?" "Yeah." "And see this? He's sweating bullets. You know, there's blood coming out of his nose. He's crying. I don't want to drive anymore. I want to ride a bike." I said, "Now we're driving down here. That's merging traffic, right?" "What do you mean by merging?" "It means it's coming into the thing here. You gotta, yield, yield. It's a truck. It's a gasoline truck." "We just burned alive. How do you like that?" You know. That's how I teach him, man. That's my whole thing. That's my orientation. See, my emotional development isn't much beyond a 14-year-old anyway, so I can relate pretty good. But naturally, I'm not developed either, so I'm also very childish. And I don't know, and I have to defer to Maria when it comes to all that stuff, because she says, "Well, you know, you have to cut them a break because they're very young, and blah, 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 blah." And she's a lot older and more mature than I am. And I'm still trying to, you know, I'm trying to punch my way through all of the neuroses that I still carry with me here in my 40s. So I got to realize, okay, he's a kid, I'm an adult, he's a kid, I'm an adult. You know, it's not a competition, you know, every time, you know, this isn't, we're not shooting pool now. I don't want him to crash. You know, it's like, "You pulled out of the, no, we're dead!" Well, that was my father, you know, you just ran over an old lady. But it was coming from the back of the car outside, so you'd hear, "Okay, you just killed an old woman. An old woman is dead. An entire family will have to be notified because of what you've done today. It'll probably be in a closed casket, judging by the way she looks. And
what are you talking about? It's a traffic cone.
I don't care. She's dead. They'll wear black for a month.
an entire family, probably back east somewhere, maybe New York or even Pennsylvania, will have to be informed.
She doesn't even exist. It's a traffic cone.
For the purposes of this demonstration, she does exist.
So that's what he did. And I learned on a 5-speed. Did you learn on a 5-speed? I learned on a 5-speed, and by the time I got into an automatic transmission, it was a gorgeous thing. It was easy. Jesus. You know, I drove a stick shift literally up until 3-4 years ago. Every car in my life up until, I just thought of this, but every car in my life, save one, which was a 1969 Falcon, was an automatic transmission. I mean, was a manual transmission. I had a Volkswagen. I had Volkswagens coming out of my ears for a long time. I had an AMC Hornet for a while. I had an Austin Marina. I had a Nissan. I had two or three trucks. I had a Blazer. They were all 4 or 5-speed cars. I had that 69 Falcon, and then I had most recently the automatic that I bought, you know, back in 96 or 97. Up until that time, I drove nothing but stick shift. And when you get into an automatic after literally your entire driving life worrying about shifting gears while you're eating a quarter pounder with cheese, you know, worrying about shifting gears while you're trying to get a CD into your CD player and learning and trying to have a cigarette, light a cigarette and shift. And you know what you're doing is you're learning how to drive with your knees. You're driving, you're steering with your knees, you're shifting, you're eating and grabbing a napkin. I mean, I really got good at that. Start hitting the brake with my left foot by accident or on purpose because the right foot is engaged putting a CD into the CD player or opening up the glove box for another pack of cigarettes. And by the time I finally got an automatic transmission, oh, my God, this is great. Look at this. All I got to do is got a wheel and a gear shift. A wheel and an accelerator, and that's it. So I eat and I smoke. Well, I don't smoke anymore, but I eat. But boy, do I eat. And do it all now in an automatic transmission. So it's a nice thing. But I'll never get rid of that truck. I got the truck. I just keep it just as a remembrance of where I was and how I got here. I got to where I am in life basically on a 5-speed. All right, Phil. Thank you. That's my that's my story. That is my motivational story. Phil Hendry got to where he is today with a manual transmission. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. As usual, we'll take calls if we get any good ones. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Oh, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Hey, if you want to get the number one rated Phil Hendry Show Best of the Year 2000 CD, 877-616-7445. So be honest with me. What kind of a show did we have today? Melissa, Mike? A good one. So that means it wasn't a great one. A B+. And Craig says super, and I know he's full of crap. So he's just trying to... So you see, it wasn't a great show today. And that is what makes me old. Now you know what you're dealing with. Now you know what you're dealing with. That's why I'm going to die young. That's why when I go back to the doctor for my follow-up exam in 2 weeks, he'll say, beta blockers, you bet. So it makes me old. Right out of the gate on a Monday and I got a B+ show. I want this thing to sing, swing, sail, sizzle. I want this thing out of the park, bouncing down the street every single day. And I know you guys know that, and I know it frustrates you, and it makes you angry, and you want to go home and beat your stuffed teddy bears and pillows and things because you can't do it to me. Look at Melissa. She's beating the crap out of her monkey book. But that's me, and that's the way I am. Aren't you guys the same way with your jobs? Oh, you mean you're not? Oh, okay. Never mind. I thought I'd talk about something that really everybody can relate to. Doing really great work. Oh, I mean, you guys don't give a crap? You're just going to go home, and you're just going to, you know, make love to your wives or whatever it is that you got at home to make love to. You're going to have yourself a little dinner. Huh? Going to watch The Sopranos? Are they not on tonight? What's on tonight? No Monday Night Football. It's on tonight. Nothing. It's dead. Looks like you're actually going to have to talk to your kids tonight. All right, we'll be back tomorrow with another B+. Or better.
I wanted to make a comment about the ad in the paper. Don't you think that these seven guys know other people, and those other people are going to let them know what you're planning? I mean, how many people listening to this show right now?
Wait. Say that again.
She's making a good point.
How many people do you think are listening to this show right now are going to tip these guys off? I mean, you think that they don't know anybody? You think that they're just seven guys that don't know
what? Tip them off about what?
Tip them off about this supposed plan that you're thinking about doing. I mean, you're just,
of taking
you're just letting
an ad
everybody
out.
Know about it now.
I've taken an ad out in a newspaper.
Right. You're letting everybody
okay.
know about it now.
All right. That's a good point. All right. So what are you getting at?
I'm getting at the
she
fact
said,
that I,
go ahead,
I
ma'am.
Think that you sound like somebody who's just
uh-huh.
some guy coming off the street looking to be a bounty hunter. Looking to get a medal pinned on himself, which is understandable. Everybody wants to be a hero.
No, ma'am.
But, I mean, if you want to be a hero...
I
want to
save a young lady like you from getting raped
I
and having
that.
A home broken into. Now,
and I, you know what? I really appreciate that there's people out there like you, but if you want to be the hero and the bounty hunter or whatever you want to do, you're looking to do, you shouldn't even be sitting here wasting your time on the phone. You should be out there right now.
Jamie, what I want to do is take out an ad in the Dallas Herald, and it's going to say... 15 AK-47s and...
And they're not going to know? And you don't think they're going to know by tomorrow morning?
They're not going to know what?
You don't think that they're going to know tonight?
They're going to know, man. They're hearing you talking about it, or somebody's going to tell them. Some guy's going to take an ad out in the Dallas paper, 15 AK-47s and two rocket launchers.
Yeah.
And they're
going to
go, don't answer that ad, because it's a trap.
I don't think either one of you are making any sense.
Oh, come on, man.
Go ahead. You tell me what's wrong with that plan. You take an ad out in the paper, okay, and you tell the guy. The guy's going to call up and say, okay, who do I see? Look, I'll wave to you from a street corner. Now, if they hear this broadcast, we
need a better plan.
No, I think you've got a good idea, but you know what we can do? We'll change it to an M16. Well, they won't be AK-47, so they won't know.
So they have no clue now that any ad, you think these guys are going to look at a newspaper?
No, what I'm saying.
And try to find somebody
Wait a minute. What did you just say, Jay?
You and Jamie said that these guys are going to know because we're talking about it, right?
Yeah.
Everybody knows now.
We're going to change it from AK-47. It'll be M16, so they won't know.
Now everybody knows.
Everybody knows.
From AKA to M16.
You just changed it to M16.
Well, let's change it from the rocket launcher. That
everything you say is on the radio.
Everything. Everything that you say, I say, is on the radio, and everybody's listening. I'm calling from New York.
They're not in New York. They're in Texas.
What?
Bingo.
We're on in Texas, too.
I'll tell you what.
Are you on in Dallas?
All they're
going to do is turn on the radio because
Dallas
you know what? That's what they're doing. They're listening to the radio. They're listening to the television to see what's going on. And you know what? They're probably listening to the show.
Yeah, but they're going to see the ad that says wanted. Guys that want to buy M16s when in fact they're going to be AK-47s. And
okay,
they're listening to it right now, you idiot.
You know,
and you know what? You know what? Let me just put one last comment.
Yeah, go ahead.
One last comment.
Go ahead.
If you want
to
be the hero,
you
should be out there right now.
We're trying to save lives.
You should be out there right now trying to save lives instead of sitting there on the phone.
Well, I'm trying to save lives.
You ain't going to save lives, you idiot, taking out ads for AK-47s. And what? Here's your music.
That's my music. Shut up.
It may be called the state police, state troopers, militia, the rangers.
But assassins, auxiliary police.
These are the stories of the men whose training,
skill,
and courage have enforced and
broken state law. What are you
laughing at? It sounds like a big Superman movie. That's what it sounds like.
I'm trying to save lives, lady.
You're not doing a good job by sitting on the phone talking to us.
I hate you.
Phil.